The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is every other Thursday, which means I'm going to be joined by the brilliant and talented Adele Moussa as we perform the Subversity Science Roundup. How are you, Adele?
Actually, I can't complain about being sick or being unmotivated or anything like that. Quite fine, actually.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful place to be. We're going to talk a little bit about GABA today and other potential sleep alternatives, I guess, but more importantly about GABA. And we're going to also talk about exercise, energy expenditure, and intake, and more on that area. I have to tell you, Adele, the Subversity notes that you put together now are unbelievable. They look like professionally done papers or magazine articles. It's just uncanny how efficient you've become, and not only compiling all of this information, but making it appealing to the eye. It's just, I mean, you could do your own magazine, I have a feeling.
Well, if I didn't do anything else, maybe, yeah.
I know, you have to do this while keeping full-time job and everything else, which is really makes it even more impressive. We were going to talk about male pattern baldness, and I did talk about that at the end of the show yesterday. I announced that we would do that. But as it turns out, a lot of the research that you found really is nothing new, right? Is that why we've kind of avoided
that? No, I think I would have known most of it. And actually, I was quite optimistic to find or to be able to compile a list of items that would be really helpful to avoid getting or to at least stop the progress of getting bored. But as it turns out, it's really mostly a genetic disposition you cannot really change. The only things you can do would be to do all the things we usually suggest, that is to lead a healthy lifestyle, to exercise, to try to not accelerate your aging process by smoking and drinking and stuff like this in order to keep your hair longer. But in essence, when you're destined to lose it, and it's going to fall out sooner or later. And actually, if you look at the data, then most people, men and women, in their 70s have some sort of a hair loss problem. For some, it's really visible, and for others, it's just that the hair is significantly thinner than before. And there are a couple of medications, obviously, you can use DHT blockers, but I did not really think that this would be news for anyone listening to the show. So I thought it would be wiser to tackle another topic instead.
Well, let me throw this out there then, okay? So when my hairline started to recede, I blamed it on the high doses of androgens I was using, which is probably true. And so I started to look into some sort of protocol to either stop it from happening or possibly even regrow hair. And the thing that I came up with, interestingly enough, was using topical progesterone, small, very, very small amounts to keep it localized in the scalp, in the area where the follicles have gone into the sleeping stage, if you will, or the hibernation stage, in combination with 890 nanometer near-infrared LEDs, which have been shown to increase the release of nitric oxide in the blood vessels, which has a ability to dilate the small capillaries. Because one of the things that I've learned, and I'm sure you found this too, that the majority of people, men and women, with male pattern baldness, or alopecia, I think is the term that they use in the scientific community, they have very, very, two-thirds of them have restricted blood flow to the scalp.
Yeah.
And so I'm sorry?
Another topical treatment is a drug that is usually prescribed for hypertension. So this does also tell you that the circulation in the scalp is of major importance here. So this is one factor in the use of progesterone you described is actually like a local DHT inhibitor.
Right.
Because progesterone is effectively inhibiting DHT conversion locally. And this is also one of the significant problems here. If you look at the literature, the correlation between the actual DHT levels, meaning like if you are in the upper quartile of the DHT levels, then your hair will fall out. You cannot find evidence for this. It is really very specific, and I suppose it also really depends on local DHT levels and on the local conversion of androgens to the or of testosterone to DHT, whether your hair will fall out or not. And obviously, all that is part of your personal genetic disposition.
Right. And also, another interesting thing about the follicle and DHT is that the follicle has two DHT receptors, unlike many other cells in the body, which are responsive to DHT, which have one, which makes it even more complicated because it's a relationship. So if you have DHT docking in just one, it will cause the follicle to go to sleep. It doesn't require both to be docked, which means you have to really keep at the DHT locally produced and converted in that area continuously to keep the follicle prone to go back into the anagen phase, and then increase blood flow, which I also learned, you know, inversion, scalp massages, all these things can increase blood flow. But as you so aptly point out at the beginning, all the things that we do in this community to stay healthy, one of the things that we do is to remain insulin sensitive. And insulin resistance is the number one reason that peripheral vasculature shuts down because of the high levels of angiotensin converting enzyme.
Right.
So
there you go.
Anyway, so we touched on it. Okay. The first thing we're going to be talking about today is GABA, because GABA seems to always come up within this community of people, either because it shows the propensity to cause an increase in growth hormone production, where people experimented with it at sleep. Some of the early research, 3 to 5 grams at sleep, increased a very large pulse of growth hormone. People also attributed it to causing sleepiness because it interacts with the same receptor that benzodiazepines interact with. So it's always been postulated that this was a great sleep aid. And even some of the more successful sleep blends that you'll find at both in doctor's offices that offer supplements as well as health food stores and so on, always include some amount of GABA. But it's coming now full circle to understand that GABA is much more subjective and has, I guess to steal a word from Dr. Scott Connolly, pleiotropic effects that may or may not be beneficial for sleep. Isn't that right?
It appears that this was the case because I think the latest discussion was started by a post on Facebook, on your Facebook wall, I think, by Dan Rollins, who mentioned that for him, GABA appears to have the exact opposite effect, which means it really hinders him from falling asleep. And my personal experience is not that I cannot fall asleep, but I always wake up as if I had been partying all night when I'm using GABA. And it does not really help me to fall asleep either. And so I suppose that there is a large subjective or large inter-individual differences, which could, again, just like the falling out of the hair we've been talking about before, could be due to genetic polymorphism and due to genetic differences. One of the central questions, however, is whether the GABA even makes it into the brain. And if you look at most of the internet resources, including many studies, you will find that authors say that GABA cannot cross the blood-brain barrier. So people will know that the brain is pretty much shielded from what is happening in the rest of the body. It's rather autonomous and actually can more or less decide what it lets in by transporting, by actively transporting molecules across the brain, across the border of the brain. And as it turns out, there is a chance of GABA making it into the brain, but rather into the periphery. And of the levels you get in the blood, the highest estimate I have found in terms of how much will actually get into the brain is roughly 1%. So it's questionable whether this is potent enough to induce the sedative effects, or whether those are not rather a side effect, so to say, from the periphery. And I don't think that this is totally impossible, because we know that there is, rather than molecules or than actual molecules, neuronal signals can be sent from the periphery back to the brain.
Right.
And you've actually been talking about that with Stephen Gearney
yesterday. Because I was saying that there's sometimes some sort of mimicry that's happening, where the brain sees something on the other side of the blood-brain barrier, and perhaps mimics that on its side, thinking, oh, we need to do the same thing.
Yeah, the brain obviously has neuronal connections. And when the GABA receptors in the periphery, in the rest of the body, would be activated, and the rest of the body would be set into a sedative mode, so to say, it's not unlikely that this will have a direct effect on the brain. On the other hand, one thing that always comes to mind, at least for me, when I'm thinking about GABA, is the pro-insulinergic effect we've been talking about in the last installment of the show. And when you think about this and its direct effect on the release of insulin from the pancreas, you could also speculate that all that may be related to a reduction in blood glucose. And most people won't know that, but actually one of the standard tests to find out whether a person does or does not produce enough growth hormone is to inject insulin so that he or she is getting hypoglycemic, and in response to the hypoglycemia, the brain should produce growth hormone. And when you do this test, you can see increase of up to 64%, and this is a real hypoglycemic state. I don't think that you will get that low when you ingest GABA, but when you really take high amounts, it could be possible that you experience hypoglycemia. And what's interesting is that when your blood glucose levels drop only slightly, you will also get tired.
Yes, because one of the classic features of hypoglycemia is that you become fatigued and weary.
Exactly.
And you know what's interesting, that I can take up to 5 grams. Of GABA without experiencing the agitation and even some of the trembling that accompanies hypoglycemia. But if I hit 8 or 9 or even 10 grams, I can't get to sleep. I become too agitated.
This could be that you are really approaching hypoglycemia, because in that case, your body will start to release all those excitatory neurotransmitters in order to get you back up, so to say,
right.
And to really enforce the production of glucose from all possible resources, because in that case the transformation of fat to glucose in the liver is no longer efficient enough, and this is actually also the way by which growth hormone helps weight loss. It increases the gluconeogenesis from free fatty acids in the liver, and thus helps you burn fat, so to say. And when the body notices this is no longer enough, it will start to produce adrenaline and other and cortisol, of course, in order to really get the blood glucose back up. And I suppose that maybe for people like me, I'm always relatively low on in terms of blood sugar. Actually, so low that my doctor, when I visited him first and got blood work done early in the morning without breakfast, asked me how I got to him, because other people he had in his practice wouldn't even have made it through the door.
Yeah, but what that shows is that you have ideal insulin sensitivity, because you're able to run without compromise on much lower blood sugar levels. We have to take a break. We've gone a little long. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side, talking more about GABA. We're talking with Adele Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup, brought to you by Subversity.com. SUPPVERSITY.com. The only blog that you should never ignore. Every day, go there, and you will be smarter. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. The pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Moussa. Okay, so picking it up where we left off about, and obviously I'm right about that, right? I mean, you just have fantastic insulin sensitivity. That's why you're able to run more efficiently on less blood sugar, right?
I suppose, at least at that time, of course, yeah. I think it's, at that time it may even have been a little too extreme, and this relates to something we're going to discuss later during this this show, relating to how much exercise you actually need, because I think at that time I was pretty much overtrained, and I did tons of cardio, and I suppose that my blood glucose was also so low, because I have been working out the day before like crazy, like every day almost.
Right.
So, as you see, I have made all the mistakes I'm now telling people not to do, and actually this is part of the reason I'm telling them not to do to make the same mistakes, because I know that doing more is often giving no way better results than keeping it sane, so to say.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about the relationship between caffeine consumption and the potential for GABA to kind of backfire on us. Obviously, we are a nation of caffeine users here. I'm sure it's that way in Germany as well. People turn too much to caffeine. Could actually using too much caffeine predispose you to having GABA work in the opposite direction than intended?
I'm not sure whether it would work in the opposite direction, but it's certainly there's scientific evidence that the chronic consumption of caffeine will reduce the number and the density of GABA receptors in the brain. And if this happens, you would obviously not be as sensitive as before, because you wouldn't have as much chances for the GABA to work on the cells in your brain. So it could possibly be that there is a chronic reduction and you are chronically stressed, so to say, because GABA is a relaxant, actually, at least if the natural GABA production works in your brain. And acutely, it can directly inhibit the binding to the receptors. So it appears that when you ingest caffeine, one of the ways by which it actually spikes you up is by blocking the GABA receptor, or at least by blocking agonists of the GABA receptor to do their magic on the receptor and thus calm you back down. So in the acute as well as the chronic effects could actually be a reason why GABA is not working for you. For example, if you many people actually can drink coffee and go to bed an hour later, and maybe they will also fall asleep, but in this situation, it is very likely that the GABA may not have an additional effect in terms of making them fall asleep much easier.
You know, and this just goes to show, part of the problem is that we look at a study and we go, oh, it does, GABA does this. And like the next discussion we're going to have complicates things even more. What particular sex steroids may play a role in the effectiveness or ineffectiveness of GABA to do certain things. It's always much more complex than we want it to be. We want things to be simple. We want to be able to say GABA is a great sleep aid, but it's just not that way. It's a great sleep aid to some people, and it may be something that agitates others. Talk about pregnenolone supplementation, and that even becomes more fragmented when you talk about allopregnenolone.
Yeah, actually, the allopregnenolone is rather a sidekick. But the pregnenolone, for example, could also be a reason. I know that some people use pregnenolone because it is the father or mother, depending on how you want to express it, of all steroid hormones.
Right.
And there is this... it's not a scientifically established fact, so I will call it a myth of pregnenolone steal. And so especially people who are suffering from chronic fatigue supplement with pregnenolone in order to provide more raw material for progesterone as well as cortisol production. And the production of all hormones further down the cascade, obviously, as well. And an interesting thing about pregnenolone is that right in the brain, it can actually block the GABA receptor as well. So if you feel that it alleviates, or taking pregnenolone does alleviate your fatigue, this could also be a direct and must not be an indirect effect from the pregnenolone actually acting in the brain. And quite interestingly, another hormone, which is called allopregnanolone, it is not a direct, it's not directly a second step conversion away from pregnenolone, but it is produced from progesterone, obviously.
Isn't that funny? So the pregnenolone converts to progesterone and then converts back to a form of, an isoform of pregnenolone.
Yeah, exactly. So this specific form, it popped up on the screen when I was researching pregnenolone, and I thought this is really interesting because it has the exact opposite effect. So it will it is an agonist. That means it docks to the GABA receptor and activates it, and is thus sedative. And what's pretty intriguing is that there has been published a study this year which says that that this molecule actually can reduce the Alzheimer's pathology, and it does what we've been talking about before. It does increase the cholesterol homeostasis and helps with the plaque buildup, and even it appears that it was even able to. To help the body to get rid of the plaque again. So this is a very interesting area of recent research where we are finding that that some of these neurosteroids can actually have very important health effects and could be used as drugs in the future, maybe.
Now, a couple other things that are very, very popular in today's fitness community. Beta alanine, glycine is supposed to be used effectively to help the detoxification pathways, but also lots of minerals are glycinated nowadays, and apparently they could also affect how GABA reacts in the body, right?
Yeah, that's something most people don't really know, that many of these popular quote unquote ergogenic amino acids are actually also neurotransmitters, and there are transporters in the brain they share, and beta-alanine and glycine, for example, obviously share one transporter in the brain with GABA, and this transporter, you can think of it like a taxi, so to say, and this taxi driver prefers to clients who are beta-alanine and glycine and will leave the GABA molecule standing around. So when there is a beta-alanine molecule or a glycine molecule, this is more likely to be transported. And this is even so, especially for beta-alanine, this is so pronounced that scientists use it as a GABA inhibitor in the Petri dish in order to make sure that it is not transported into the cells they are looking at in the Petri dish. So this could be an effect, this could be also a reason why GABA supplementation does not work. On the other hand, beta-alanine in and out of itself has an affinity for the GABA receptor. So I'm not quite sure whether it should not actually make you feel tired as well if you take high amounts of beta-alanine, and this does actually make it into the brain. This should also have an effect or a sedative effect. But this brings up another problem, because GABA is actually the only molecule which is docking to almost all types of GABA receptors, there are hundreds of possible combinations, and I don't think we really know which ones exist in the brain. And I did not find in the time I had now whether beta-alanine is actually docking to the right receptor type. It does dock to the GABA-A receptor, but unfortunately this receptor type has several subtypes, and I couldn't find any information whether it's the right subtype or not. And I think that if it did and you have a sedative effect, it is probably not as pronounced, because I could find one in vitro study comparing beta-alanine on several different GABA receptors in terms of its potency, and it appears to be pretty weak, at least in most of the receptors. So it is possible that this is working. It could be working in a way like a SERM by docking to the receptor, blocking it, and not activating it in the same
way
extent as the real deal molecule would.
Right, right. Which is what we see in a lot of these things where a molecule may fit into a receptor but doesn't necessarily mimic the parent hormone that the receptor was made for. This is very, very common. Here's what I want to do. I want to take another break. I want to get back on our clock here because I want to come back and talk about an amino acid that has a relationship with beta-alanine, which is taurine, and how that affects the effectiveness of how GABA reacts in the brain. We're talking with Adel Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup. It's brought to you by Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. I swear there's got to be 24 Adel Moussas there in Germany working because the amount of information he puts out is unparalleled by any other organization. Go to Subversity.com today. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhuman.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus. When you order, go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane. Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away. You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture-fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5-pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Ayurvedic Medicine Hour. I'm Ravi Shankar. I like this song. I wish I understood what they were saying. Be so much more meaningful. Okay, two amino acids that have a relationship, beta-alanine and taurine, seem to also have different relationships with GABA. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, beta-alanine, taurine, and glycine, all three are connected because they all share transporter systems. So one thing would, again, be an inhibition by transport, although I did not find direct evidence for that in case of taurine. And another effect of taurine could actually be, and this is rather speculative because it's based on a study that was conducted in elderly individuals, that it does actually increase the baseline GABA levels in the brain. And when you're looking at the studies discussing the influx of GABA from the systemic circulation into the brain, one of the main determinants is actually how much GABA is already in the brain, so to say. And the more GABA you have in the brain, the more of it will float out of the brain, so to say, and the more the brain will try to avoid an overload of GABA. So if you have baseline high GABA levels, it is possible that this will counter the effects of additional supplementation. And this could actually explain why people who are supplementing with taurine regularly could thus not or could by this means actually reduce their ability to benefit from GABA as a sleeping aid. Wow. On the other hand, it's quite interesting that there are also reports of people using taurine as a sleeping aid because taurine in itself appears to have a direct affinity for the GABA receptor and at least to a certain extent will also exert agonist effects on the GABA receptor. So I'm not quite sure what to make of it. But aside from that, there is also a parallel which has only been observed in rodents that some scientists found that taurine has anxiolytic effects, which means it decreases anxiety,
right.
While other researchers actually reported that when they administered taurine to rodents, they got anxiety. And this is actually a very similar situation to the one we started out with, where we said that in some situations it is quite obvious that GABA obviously seems to have no sedative but rather an agitating effect. And to come back to my previous hypothesis that this could be related to hypoglycemia, we also know that taurine also promotes the release of insulin. So the effects could also be related, again, to hypoglycemia.
What about alcohol? It looks like, okay, so before we go to alcohol, I don't want to skip over this one, but we were talking about working out too much. There seems to be other things that can affect the density of GABA receptors. Working out too much you have here could potentially do that, right?
Yeah, working out obviously seems to, at least in rodents, it does have an effect on the density of GABA receptors and it reduces it. And this is quite interesting because we will be coming back to that and the effect of exercise on sleep. But I think everybody who has been overtraining profoundly will have found that he cannot calm down anymore. He can go to bed, but he does not really sleep or does not get restored to sleep. And if you think about the possibility that chronic exercise and especially chronic endurance exercise reduces the receptor density, the GABA receptor density in the brain, this could actually be not just a overload, but rather a very mechanistic effect that you cannot get to rest at all.
Right. And then lastly, something that people use as a sleep aid, and we're gonna change this up in a minute and talk about sleep aid alternatives to GABA. But But something that people use regularly as a sleep aid, which in my humble opinion is not a good choice, is alcohol.
Yeah, in low doses, obviously, only. It does have a beneficial effect on sleep. And this sleep, at least some researchers believe that this is the case, this sleep aiding effect is actually mediated also by GABA, because there is a certain receptor subtype which happens to have this sedative effect, and as usual, obviously, alcohol is well investigated. this receptor interacts directly with alcohol, and it has a calming effect, and it can actually help you sleep. But as soon as a certain threshold is reached, it will have the opposite effect,
which is similar because, we know that alcohol, if alcohol affects insulin, alcohol can have an insulinogenic effect. We know that it can modulate and attenuate blood sugar levels. So it seems like anything that has an interaction with the GABA receptor seems to have some very similar systemic effects.
If it activates the GABA receptor in the brain, it's quite likely that it also activates the GABA receptor on the pancreas. And we know that the GABA receptor on the pancreas is partly responsible for the release of insulin or for the production of insulin. So these are all interwoven systems, and depending, for example, on your baseline glucose levels, the outcome could be totally different, because for one person, the minor reduction in blood glucose does not make a difference. For the other one, it sends them right into hypoglycemia, and the sedative effect on the brain does not make a difference anymore.
And something needs to be said here for a second, especially before we go into the next segment, and before we talk about vitamin D just briefly. And that is, sleep is a system of events, and the effects of some of these things are not necessarily effects on sleep, or they're not necessarily beneficial effects on sleep. They're more the hypnotic effects, if you will, of some of these agents, which does not mean just because you're getting sleepy or tired or undergoing some sort of hypnotic event from consuming alcohol or an amino acid or anything is not tantamount to getting sleep. Sleep is a system of events. There are lots of things that have hypnotic effects that do not promote healthy systemic sleep, such as benzodiazepines.
Yeah.
It's important to understand that. Something that makes you fall asleep doesn't mean you're getting sleep.
You're exactly right, because you really need the right the stages. You must go through all the stages, and they will have to have a certain ratio or length.
Right.
And the length of the stages must be correct. And we know that many of those sleeping pills will make you sleep 10 hours or so, or at least long enough, but you don't go through all the sleep phases in the correct some of them are not long enough, so you do not really recover. You just sleep like someone hit the off switch.
Yeah.
And this is really not what you want. And actually, people often say, natural alternatives are always better. But as in many cases, this is true not just for the artificial or created molecules, so to say, of which most of them are actually either natural or of a natural origin, or a copy of something that is in a similar form already available in nature. So there is you cannot be sure that just because it's natural, it will not have the same negative side effects.
Yeah,
and
it's important.
The thing about vitamin D was just a joke of mine here, because lately I'm noticing that vitamin D appears to be actually involved in everything, but when I typed that into the search engine, it was the first time I didn't find someone speculating about the role of vitamin D here.
Yeah, vitamin D deficiency or something, right? That's funny. That's very, very funny. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about sleep aid alternatives to GABA, keeping in mind that when we talk about sleep, we're talking about proper sleep hygiene and architecture, and not just falling asleep. You can get hit in the head with a baseball bat, and you can be unconscious for 7 hours, and you will not get up off the floor and go, wow, I feel so well rested. You know what I mean? Just because you close your eyes and lay still for 8 hours does not mean you're sleeping. And people need to get that once and for all. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5-pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy and disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know what this is.
Welcome back.
We're going to give you 5 seconds.
Okay.
To drink down and report
so
to the dance floor.
Maybe GABA doesn't work for you, or maybe you're thinking, hey, I shouldn't be using GABA to help me sleep. I don't want something that's going to cause me to become hypoglycemic. Anyway, we have some other alternatives. So what's your first on your list of alternatives, Adele?
Well, maybe I must warn people before I start out with the alternatives, because most of them actually work via GABA receptor interactions in some way. And for many of them, there is no clear evidence whether there is something in those natural aids which actually makes it through the, into the brain and interacts with the receptor, whether they do, by one way or another, similar to taurin, increase the natural GABA levels in the brain. So, for example, valerian, of which you would use 400 to 900 milligrams before bed, also appears to act via the or on the gap via GABA, but in this case it appears as if the active ingredient in valerian would inhibit the breakdown of GABA in the brain. and thus you would have higher GABA levels and you will get the same sedative effect. And this would help to avoid any problems with the blood-brain barrier. And it has been used for centuries already as a sleeping aid, although I know that it does not really work for everyone. And this is typical of almost every supplement. So it is worth giving it a try, but I wouldn't guarantee that it does work.
Well, and valerian was thought to be the reason that they named the benzodiazepine Valium, because it was supposed to have some similar characteristics as the natural alternative valerian, which is why a lot of people use it as not only for a sleep aid, but for those who suffer from anxiety and stuff, they find some benefits from valerian.
Right, and this is actually this is the same effect. And there's also GABA in some extracts from valerian, but it appears as if this was not really the most active or prominent ingredient that does induce the sedative effect. And this would actually support the notion that it's not the orally administered GABA that really has the sedative effect, but rather any peripheral effect or some corollary effects that occur when you ingest GABA.
Now, this one I would have never guessed, because I've always thought ginseng was something that energized, but you have it listed here as a potential sleep aid.
Yeah, and it appears as if this was just, again, a question of dosage, because in many trials I've seen about ginseng in terms of its sedative effect, some of the participants obviously complained about nervousness and excitation, and what solved the problem was just reducing the dosage. So it is not really quite clear how ginseng works, but in the Petri dish, they compete with GABA at the receptor level, so they must have some agonist activity directed at the GABA receptor, and that high doses induce nervousness and excitation is something already know from your own experience that taking too much GABA will not make you sleepy but agitated, and the same appears to be true for ginseng.
Yeah.
Or ginseng.
What about kava kava? I don't know a lot about kava kava other than I've heard of it in certain supplements. Is it exclusively a anxiolytic, or does it also have the same too much makes you agitated?
Well, there is not that much research on kava kava, and actually, I suppose that this would be one of those which will not have these negative side effects, because for kava kava or the kava kava-like tones in this natural compound, it has been shown that they are selective for the docking site the benzos also occupy. And for benzodiazepine, there is actually, at least I don't know, that there are similar side effects of higher doses making you agitated. So this works basically like a natural benzodiazepine and should not really wake you up. And the dosage, unfortunately, I can only tell you how much they used as a as an extract, so to say, and this is 180 to 210 milligrams of the active ingredients. So I'm not quite sure how much of an extract you would have to use if it does not give you the exact amount of active ingredients, which is, by the way, something I would always watch out for whenever I buy a supplement, because just saying that it is a 1 to 10 extract does not mean that there is any active ingredient in it left.
Right.
You could also extract every other ingredient and not remove, for example, just the water, but also the active ingredient. So people are often getting fooled when they see the 1 to 100 extract doesn't really mean something. It just means that the volume is reduced. But if they don't have a standardization practice in place, you don't really know if you'd get any active ingredient in it.
The next one is interesting to me, passion flower. The reason it's interesting to me more than anything else is that it seems to be a uterine stimulant, which means it stimulates the uterus to contract, right?
It does, yeah, and therefore it's also not suitable for pregnant women. And this is one of the, I think it is one of the few supplements which has one of the, which has a real large warning label on every bottle, because this could really be dangerous for a woman who is pregnant when she either takes a supplement or drinks a tea, because obviously passion flower is often used as a tea.
Yeah.
You would take 4 to 8 grams of the passion flower and just make an infusion and drink the tea 20 minutes or 40 minutes before you go to bed, and this is supposed to actually help you sleep. And again, the ingredient or the active ingredient, which appears to be chrysum, and I think people would have heard about
right.
this before,
right.
It has an affinity for the same docking site as the GABA receptor as the benzos have. So again, this would be an alternative that is not very likely to have agitating effects.
And chrysin wasn't chrysin some sort of aromatase inhibitor or anti-estrogen at one point in time?
Yeah, it interacts with I'm not sure if it's an anti-estrogen, but it has some sort of it is somehow involved in estrogenic effects. And it was sold, I think, as a weak serum, but I could be mistaken. I'm not sure. At least it never worked out as a great testosterone booster.
Yeah, right, exactly. It was very, very weak. And it came out around the same time that a lot of the androstenedione and diol products were introduced. Here's what we have to do. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got lots more to talk about, lots more sleep alternatives to talk about. And then we're also going to talk about exercise a little bit as well. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. Sorry for the long lead-in music. We were supposed to have Tricky Jackson on with us for a couple minutes. Tricky Jackson is an IFBB pro who has made a very, very popular event in Lexington, Kentucky called the NPC Tricky Jackson Classic Bodybuilding Physique Figure and Bikini Competition. And Elisa and I will be attending it this year as press. It's Saturday, October 19th. Pre-judging starts at 11 a.m. The evening finals, the evening show starts at 7 p.m. It's at the Thoroughbred Center, 3380 Paris Pike, Lexington, Kentucky. And you can get more information about the event by going to trickyjackson.com and look for the Tricky Jackson Classic for those of you who are interested in the area. Okay. Onward and upward. This next one is no surprise to me because I know if I drink beer, I get tired, and that's hops. But I don't think it's the hops that are making me sleepy, or is it, Adele?
I think this is probably rather the effect of the mild alcohol intoxication. Because the amount of hops in beer is actually not high enough to cause the sedative effect, I suspect. And this also brings up another issue. When people think about beer, they always think about the beer belly and a potential estrogenic effect of beer. And this could actually be a consequence of hops if there was really enough hops left in the beer. Because hops does have a relatively high estrogenic activity, and it's also specific for the estrogen alpha receptor, which makes it not suitable for women with a history of breast cancer. So while we just had the passion flower with chrysine, which is actually, I just checked it, a mild aromatized inhibitor, we do now have hops with an estrogenic compound in it, which is also not exactly usable for every woman. And the normal use is either as a tea, or is it dried herb, and in this case only 500 milligrams of the dried herb, taken 20 to 40 minutes before bed. And it works, again, the exact working principle is probably, in this case, not via an action on GABA, but it appears to have rather an effect on serotonin in the brain. So, and if this is a different mechanism, this would mean that anybody who has no luck with any of the natural GABA modulators, so to say, could use hops or try hops and see if that works for him or her. Another alternative, which actually works by the exact same mechanism, but is much more are much better known as L-tryptophan or 5-HTP.
Well, now let's. I want to talk. There's very different effects.
In the US, all right?
there's very different effects, right? I mean, okay, so I take L-tryptophan before bed, but it looks like that it's wise to stack them, L-tryptophan and 5-HTP, because they seem to do different things at different doses.
You mean L-tryptophan and 5-HTP?
Yeah. I take L-tryptophan. I take 1 gram of L-tryptophan at bedtime, right?
Yeah.
And it does help me sleep. But I've recently learned that as little as 100 or 200 milligrams of 5-HTP does the same thing, but also it looks like L-tryptophan and 5-HTP do very different things. I always assumed that L-tryptophan's effects were not mediated just through increases in serotonin, but the availability of serotonin to convert to melatonin. And 5-HTP is one step upstream from that. So it seems that 5-HTP has a different intrinsic effect on helping sleep, because you point out that it also increases slow-wave sleep. That's not attributed to L-tryptophan, right?
Yeah, that's right. It could be. And it's usually the further up you go when you're supplementing, in this case you supplement L-tryptophan, which is the precursor to 5-HTP, the more side effects, so to say, you get. And I'm deliberately saying side effects because people always think those must be bad things. But whether something is a side effect in the sense most people think about it or not is just determined by what you want to reach or what you want to achieve, so to say. And in this case, some of the side effects of taking tryptophan directly may actually be that it promotes the synthesis of melatonin. I'm not quite sure whether it does this, but it's actually possible. And on the other hand, providing 5-HTP directly could change some of the things that happen further up in the cascade, just like, for example, injecting estrogen into a male human being will reduce his testosterone levels.
Right.
Because the body will think there must be tons of testosterone if we are producing so much estrogen here.
Interesting. And then, obviously, melatonin itself. Do you think that that's the best alternative? But more importantly, there seems to be a lot of evidence that sleep timing, the timing of taking your melatonin, plays a larger role than necessarily taking it.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure whether melatonin is really the best sleep aid, so to say. I know that some people say I take it and it doesn't help me, and it doesn't help me sleep, it fall asleep. Especially, this is probably not really what melatonin does. It does
right.
not really make you feel sleepy, but it is a great way to make sure that your circadian rhythm is in intact. And this is also why it appears to be pretty important to really take it just before bed. I know that I have been, or I'm guilty of posting studies which have shown that you can use melatonin as in sort of an antioxidant when you're working out in order to block the negative effects of an ultramarathon, for example. But this would be something I would do once when I'm running an ultramarathon, and by no means every day, because there have been studies that have effectively shown that when you take melatonin at 11 a.m., for example, you effectively shift your
right.
internal clock forward so that when you are free to go to bed whenever you want, you will be going to bed earlier. So you can actually use this if you want to make sure, or if you want to prepare, because you know that you're going to another time zone, and this would be useful for you. Or if you know that you have to go to bed earlier because you will have to switch to another shift the next week, you can use it in this way. But otherwise, it appears to be wise to really use it only maximally 1 hour before the time you actually want to go to bed, and it helps people, especially those people who actually have real sleep disturbances, and also pathological sleep disturbances which come with Alzheimer's and other diseases. In this case, it's really effective, but I'm not quite sure if someone who has mild problems with falling asleep will benefit, because in this case, it's often at least as important to keep a certain ritual, which tells your body, now I'm going to the bathroom, I'm brushing my teeth, I'm doing this and that and whatever, that it's now time to get tired and to fall asleep. And I think whenever we are talking about sleep aids, you really must have must keep in mind that these routines are at least as effective as other things. And everybody who has got kids will know that you only get your kids to go to bed in time when you really stick to the same routine every night. Otherwise, they also won't fall asleep. And this is not much different for us adults. If you don't have a proper routine in place, you will have problems falling asleep, whether or not you're taking melatonin or any other sleep aid, so to say.
Well, you know, and if you are going to take melatonin, something that you said that shouldn't be glossed over, but you should take it around an hour before you plan on going to bed. But more importantly, if you're going to take it at sundown, because this is when the pulse of melatonin occurs, and then you are following the normal sleep onset architecture, taking it right before bed. And Dan Pardee pointed this out very eloquently by saying that melatonin should not be used as a hypnotic aid. It should not be used to cause the onset of sleep. The onset of sleep is caused further downstream after the supplementation. In fact, the research that was done at the Madonna del Grazie Institute on Menopause in Italy, where they gave women melatonin as a supplement and took women out of amenorrhea and brought them back to fertility, has never been duplicated again. And I had the luxury of talking to the lead scientist, who is very difficult to understand and refused to come on the air. But what I discovered was these women had a diary. They did not take the melatonin at bedtime. They took the melatonin an hour and a half to 2 hours, or they were told to take it at 8:30. Some of them didn't go to sleep until 11. And that was something that stuck in my mind for a long time. I thought, wow, it wasn't necessarily the melatonin. It was the timing of the melatonin that had the beneficial effects on these women. And so taking your melatonin, laying down, getting in bed and taking your melatonin then, that's a mistake because your body thinks that's sundown. So it's interesting. The other thing is, when talking about some of these sleep alternatives, I like the L-tryptophan, I like the 5-HTP, and I like the melatonin because they seem to contribute to, when taken at the right times, they seem to contribute to the normal sleep architecture.
Yeah, that's right. Because you usually would also produce an increased amount of serotonin. You would produce your melatonin. And you really made a great point that melatonin is not the sleep hormone that makes you sleep, but rather the hormone that tells your body that it's about time to find some place to sleep, so to say. Because it will start to be produced when the sun is going down, and this is the time to find shelter, for example, if you think about our ancestors. And actually, the study I mentioned before where the people got the melatonin at 11 a.m., they did not feel drowsy or so after taking the melatonin. I think everybody who has experimented with it will be able to confirm that. But after a couple of hours, the body actually thought, now it's about time to go to bed.
Right.
And when you follow this instinct, you will go to bed earlier. If you don't, and most times we don't, then this does not really work. And another interesting thing which goes back together, and I think I mentioned that before, and you commented on it on Facebook, is that when the blue light hits your eyes, actually there is a GABA response that goes directly from the neurons at the, or that transmits from the neurons to the brain a signal that will shut off the melatonin production.
Right.
So this is actually quite interesting, and it is an interaction between GABA and melatonin, which is not really well understood as of now. But as you see, the sedative effects do not really, as the sedative effects of GABA are not the only thing GABA can do for you. And this could really be, once again, a matter of which GABA receptor type is activated here.
Yeah. And see, and this is why it comes down to it's much more complex. And people want to be able to say, well, take GABA, it does this. It does not necessarily do that. It depends on so many different things. You have to experiment on your own to find out if one thing or another thing actually produces the response that you're looking for. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about alternatives to the alternatives, and then we're going to talk about exercise and sleep, because there is a large role, and everybody knows this. Some days you just don't sleep well. A lot of times those are the days that you've been training the hardest, and maybe you're even overtrained. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Subversity Science Roundup with the brilliant and talented Adele Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany. Visit Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com today. We'll be right back.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. As I said in the earlier break, we were going to have Tricky Jackson on, and guess what? He is here, and then we will resume our discussion about exercise and sleep with Adele Musa. How you doing, Tricky?
Hey, I'm doing great, Carl. How are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. So for those who don't know, Tricky Jackson is an IFBB pro bodybuilder with a fantastic career, and he is giving back right here in my backyard in Lexington, Kentucky. This is the 2013 National Physique Committee sanctioned event, Tricky Jackson's classic bodybuilding physique, figure, and bikini competition. How long have you been doing this now, Tricky?
This is my 19th year doing the Tricky Jackson Classic, and I'm very excited about this year. It's our biggest show to date. We've got 190 competitors crossover this year, so I'm very excited about it. We hold the event in Lexington, Kentucky, as you said, at the Thoroughbred Center, which is located at 3380 Paris Pike. The event goes on this Saturday. Pre-draft is 11 p.m., and the show is 7 p.m. I've got Big Bill Wilmore. I have to be coming in as my special guest poser. And I'm going to get on stage and do my thing. I'm fresh off the Olympia and stay in the shape because I may be doing the shoe route next weekend if I can get this visa going. So it's been a busy month for me.
Yeah, I bet. Wow, 19 years you've been doing this competition. I didn't realize it was going that long.
Yeah, it used to be called, actually, the Bluegrass Muscle Classic. And,
right, okay.
I changed it about 6 years ago to Tricky Jackson Classic.
Now, so are you from Lexington originally?
I wasn't born in Lexington, but I mean, I've lived there most of my, from the time I was 12 years old to my adult life, so.
Now, for people who don't know, you are related to Dexter Jackson, right?
Yeah, we're distant cousins, absolutely.
There you go.
It's funny thing you said that because Dexter actually has a show. It's a little shameless plug for Dexter's show. He has a show today as well in Memphis, Tennessee. So it's interesting cousins that we actually have an event on the same day. But the difference is, I will actually be at my event, and I've been told that Dexter won't be at his show this weekend. So a lot of people actually come out to the show. That's an opportunity to meet me as well, and I always appreciate the fans that come out.
Yeah,
so everyone that makes it out this weekend, I'll definitely come up to me and shake my hand. I appreciate your support.
And Elisa and I will be there, too. So if anybody is going to be in the area and you want to meet up with us, we will be there. Now tell me something. Where do people get tickets? Do they get them at the door, or can they buy them ahead of time?
The check for the competitors on Friday, tomorrow evening, at the Ramada Inn. That will be from 7 to 9. The Ramada Inn Conference Center is located right down from the venue at 2143 North Broadway. We'll be set up in there selling tickets there. And then other than that, you can get them at the door. If you're interested, I suggest that you purchase those at pre-judging because by the time you come to the night show, they may be gone.
And what do tickets cost for general admission?
Pre-judging is $15. General admission for the night show is $30. Then we have reserve seating for $40 and $50. Best seats available for VIP.
Excellent. And will there be an after party?
There is an after party. The after party will be right back at the Ramada Inn Conference Center immediately following the show. We've got a schedule from 11 a.m. to approximately 1 p.m. Treat all the athletes, and then we'll have food. They'll be served. It's a really nice event. We try to get everybody an opportunity to let the hair down after the show and each other's company and just kind of celebrate.
I don't know about you, but anytime I've been to a bodybuilding after party, there was no problem getting people to let their hair down.
Except for maybe me.
Oh, there you go.
I don't have very much to let down, but yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, it's a family type environment there, and everybody has a good time.
Listen, I'm looking forward to meeting you. I'm looking forward to being at the event. Those of you in the Superhuman Nation that are going to be in the area, come on out and meet up with Elisa and I. We'll be there Saturday for the event for sure.
All right, man. Well,
thank you so much.
Call opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Look forward to meeting you as well.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon, Trey.
All right.
So stay tuned. We're going to take one real quick commercial break, come right back, and we're going to pick it right back up where we left off with Adele Musa. Stay tuned.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Never before has an anti estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay. 50. Back to the subject at hand. The alternatives to the alternatives. And do the alternatives to the alternatives promote a better sleep architecture because we're not putting something in our body that is designed to intervene, per se, but instead promote the body to do what it does best when it gets tired?
I suppose they do, because actually they are, well, no, they are not both mechanic, but the first one is in a way mechanic, which is acupuncture. And I'm not really an expert in acupuncture, but there are so many things you can achieve, and there are so many studies actually supporting at least mild efficiency of acupuncture treatments that I'm willing to believe that acupuncture can actually help you sleep. And it certainly can help you relax. And that alone can help you sleep, because in many cases it's not just a psychological excitation that keeps you from falling asleep, but also a very physical one. And this could also be one beneficial effect of a peripheral of GABA if you ingest it orally. Even if it does not make it into your brain, it will have a relaxing effect on your muscles, for example. And that could also help you fall asleep. So I'm pretty sure that based on the available studies, there is a beneficial effect of certain acupuncture treatments. There is, however, a problem with randomization here, because you can use fake needles. But in many trials, the participants were actually able to sense whether or not the acupuncture was performed. And so there is no real blinding in the study.
Yeah, it's hard to blind somebody if you're sticking a needle in them or not, you know.
And if you believe that it works, it will work. It's just the same as with the supplements. At least for the first couple of weeks, it will work. and you usually don't conduct studies like that over years. So there is a large, there is a certain healthy skepticism within the scientific community as far as the benefits are concerned. And I think there probably is the same skepticism with respect to low energy emission therapy.
Yeah, what is a low energy emission therapy? I've never heard of it before.
Actually, this is the first time I read about it as well. And basically, you lie in bed, you take an electrode and put it under your tongue, and there is a high frequency electronic wave on the electrode, which is then modulated. The amplitude is modulated at a very low frequency, so it's going higher and lower in terms of the voltage, and obviously it does not, it's not so high that you that it hurts or so. The subject said they didn't feel anything, but it has been established that doing this will actually induce the release of melatonin in the brain. So taking this mouthpiece, lying down for 15 minutes, and doing this practice will prepare you to go to bed, so to say. And it's quite the opposite of some of the studies that have been conducted in animals and also in humans, which show that higher energy frequencies, and which are modulated at different can actually impair the release of melatonin.
Yeah, this has been studied in municipal electrical wiring. The 60 cycle EMF fields have been shown when they're close enough to the head. If you have an electrical outlet right next to your bed and you have your clock radio plugged into it, the wire acts as an antenna. And the 60 cycle has been shown to reduce melatonin production down to zero in women in one study.
Yeah, but this is one of the areas where you get evidence for and evidence against it. There is a rather large scale study which actually investigated this effect in many different subgroups and people living in different areas and so, and they did not really find evidence that the ordinary exposure to the regular wiring you have at home does anything to you. But on the other hand, I personally would not really like to live exactly beneath one of those high voltage lines where the electricity is transported from place A to place B, so to say, because in that case you get much higher voltages and much stronger electromagnetic field.
Well, and let's talk about that. I want to talk about that for a second, because the other day it dawned on me. I forgot about something. I was driving home from the TV station, listening to AM radio, which I don't normally do, and I was getting off an off ramp. And I circled between two high-tension wires that you're talking about, and the noise that you get on AM radio, that, you know, at different points as you're getting the quarter wave, half wave, maybe two wave lengths away, is amazing. And it dawned on, I remembered 15 years ago reading a study that showed that children who live under these high-tension wires have a much higher rate of leukemia than the general population of children.
Yeah, this is one of the areas which is also pretty much debated how much how real these effects are. But I think I wouldn't be exactly be totally afraid of that, but there is definitely some sort of feedback on the pituitary and, on the pineal gland, from electromagnetic radiation. The question is always whether this is an acute or a chronic effect, whether there is some sort of accommodation effect. For example, you could assume that when you are first exposed, you get this effect, and when you are living there for years, you may get accustomed to the chronic exposure to these waves. And so this may be an explanation for the differences. And there's also, obviously, there's also much money involved here.
Yeah.
Because somebody could actually show that the people living beneath the wire of company XYZ all got cancer from the electric current, the electricity being transported there. This would be, in America, the company could close its doors. In Germany, it wouldn't be that catastrophic because people don't get the same amount of money from litigations as in the US.
Right.
But obviously, it is really difficult to produce research and not being accused of either being an extremist or the exact opposite of being in bed, so to say, with the industry. And I am not in the situation to say one group is right or the other isn't. The one thing I know is that nobody can debate that there is a certain negative effect in those rodent studies when you put really high currents and really high high energy
frequency.
Electromagnetic fields
right
next to the head of a rodent. So and even the WHO says that there is a slight risk of developing cancer from using mobile phones, for example.
Right. Right.
So I think this is something we really will have to, we should investigate further, but nobody is interested to find out what's there. I mean, it could be that everything is totally harmless, but this is a question of taking the risk that the study does not yield the outcome you want to see.
Well, and okay, so there's two other things I want to mention. Before we move on to the discussion of exercise and its effects on sleep, the first one is I cannot offer enough, what's the word I'm looking for, encouragement for people to go out and buy the Uvex blue blocker glasses for $9 on Amazon.com. They're called Skypers. These are safety glasses that will fit over reading glasses. They have adjustable temples. I can tell you unabashedly that because one night I woke up in the middle of the night for whatever reason, and I decided to read. And normally when I turn the light on and read at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and then try to go back to sleep, I feel like dog poop in the morning. So this time I grabbed my glasses and put them on before going into the other room and flipping the light switch on and reading for a while. And I got the best sleep after I, as a matter of fact, I got sleepy within 20 minutes and went right back to bed. I've been using them at night before going to bed when I have to use my computer or watch television. I'm sleeping much better as a result of that. And this is something that isn't something you're adding into your regimen to help you get to sleep. You're removing something that will protect and defend the normal sleep architecture. You're removing blue light. You put them on at sundown. You watch television. You work on your computer. You go to bed. You sleep better. I cannot encourage you enough that if you have sleep issues or feel that, gee, I know I can sleep better, get yourself a pair of these $9 glasses and try them. Put them on at sundown. Go through your day the way you normally would the rest of the night and go to bed to help protect the normal sleep architecture. The other thing is pulse electromagnetic fields, when they're in the 9.6 hertz realm, will both entrain the brain and cause an increase in serotonin production. This has been proven by a study done in the UK where they made a little helmet for people with insomnia and got them to sleep by using these square wave pulse electromagnetic field headgear. You can get the same results by using something produced by a guy who doesn't advertise on my show, so I have no vested interest in promoting him other than the fact that I've been sleeping with one of these units for years and I'm loving it still. And that is the product made by Paul Becker, his PMF unit, Earth Pulse. It's a fantastic product. And there's a study out there done by a group in the UK where they, instead of moving it from putting it underneath the bed, they put it in a helmet, and it made people fall asleep. So those are two things that I would recommend that help protect the normal sleep architecture instead of adding into it. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how exercise affects sleep, and this is going to be a really important part of the discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume, because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Welcome back to Supreme Radio. Okay, everybody knows that exercise and especially overtraining can affect sleep. So maybe the first thing that this audience needs to do is focus on how you're exercising and how it's affecting your sleep. Obviously, I mean, it's a matter of being active, right, Adele? I mean, the body expects to be active during the daytime and less active in the evening, so that alone sends messages. So you shouldn't work out at night, right?
Not really, no. It's not beneficial for sleep. And actually, this is quite interesting because I posted earlier this day on the Supplicity Facebook page a short news blurb on a study that showed that during high-intensity interval training in the evening will help you with the triglyceride response to a large meal on the next day. And someone actually posted whether this would not disturb the sleep if you exercise, or especially if you do high intensity exercise before bed or at least in the evening. And this the idea to check back on this actually came from this post. And when I looked at the studies that are out there, you get quite different results, because in many studies, the type of exercise is different. So it's difficult to compare them. But fortunately, someone did this already for me. There is a study from 2003 in which the scientists actually gathered all the data from the available studies then and calculated so-called effect sizes. So I can't tell you, for example, you will sleep 1 hour less if you do this and that, but you can tell how strong the positive or negative effect on the length of sleep or on the timing when you fall asleep actually is. And there is a time and light dependent effect on whether it will or won't help you sleep. And this is time dependent in terms of when you're exercising 4 to 8 hours before you actually go to sleep, then will be beneficial. On the other hand, if you're exercising 4 hours, which is much closer to you to the time you will go to bed, then you will usually be have a higher sleep latency, which means that you will have trouble falling asleep. So the best time actually to exercise appears to be about 8 hours before you go to bed.
And, is that even better? Is that even better than just exercising first thing in the morning?
That's difficult to say because I'm not quite sure how much data on exercising in the morning is actually available here. So based on the data from this study, it would be better here.
What about the duration of the exercise? I see that you have some information here as well. So to those people out there who spend hours and hours at the gym versus 45 minutes or an hour, is there an accumulation of negative effects the longer you train?
Yeah, and there are actually two effects. The first one is the longer you train, the more it will reduce the highly important REM sleep.
Mm.
The effect is most pronounced, and I think this is an effect that will depend on intensity and exercise duration, because the study shows that the short exercise duration has more effects than a rather long 1 to 2 hour exercise duration. And if you think about that, this is probably rather something like going for a walk or some low intensity activity, and extremely long workouts in the more than 2 hour range, or probably something like a marathon run, will directly have a very pronounced negative effect on your sleep quality. And actually, people who have been overtraining will have noticed that they are tired, and this is another finding. You need much more sleep the more you exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But they sleep, for example, usually they would need 7 hours. Now they're sleeping 9 hours and are still not refreshed. And this is because you do not go through all the phases, and especially you are missing out on the REM phases, and you do not really recover despite lying in bed for hours. And you initially said that you can, you have to watch out, not to overtrain, not to sleep well. Personally, I've always recognized first that I'm overtraining by simply looking at how I slept. I mean, everybody has one or another night where you cannot sleep very well. But when I noticed that for 1 week I go to bed and wake up early in the morning and feel more fatigued than in the evening, I knew that I was profoundly overtrained.
Well, but I think intensity really does have a role here, and it's hard to filter that out. And I want to talk about that for a second. So, as you aptly point out in this particular study that looks at REM sleep duration, the folks that were exercising for less than 1 hour had a greater degree of interruption of REM than the ones that were exercising 1 to 2 hour. And it could be said that the ones that are exercising in 1 hour are accomplishing this because they are training harder for that hour, because it's virtually impossible to train for over an hour to 2 hours at a greater intensity level. And what I think about for myself is I know when I've overtrained, I haven't slept well, but I recall we had a bad storm come through Louisville one time, and I had 3 trees in my backyard fall. And some guy wanted like $3,000 to cut them up and haul them away. And I thought, the heck with this. I got the weekend ahead of me. I am going to cut these trees up. I'm going to rent a truck. I'm going to pull them away myself, which I did. I worked continuously for 2 days. I slept amazingly each of those nights. The difference was this. When you go out to do work, you don't charge at it and go, let me see how I can drive myself into the ground the fastest. You pace yourself because you have all of this work to do. So you pace yourself. And I think that it comes down to intensity. If you're training...
Yeah, and there's also data on that. But not on the sleep latency or the sleep duration, but rather on how often you actually wake up during the night.
Really?
And doing low intensity exercise will help you sleep all the night through. Moderate does not really have a real effect, and high intensity exercise will make you more susceptible to waking up in the middle of the night several times, and not just for going to the toilet or whatever, but just waking up, not knowing why, and not really being able to go back to sleep. And actually, this is also quite logical when you think about the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system activity. When you really hit it hard, so for example, if you try to do the high intensity interval training right before you go to bed because you know next morning you're going to have brunch and want to decrease your triglyceride response, then you're really jacked up when you're going to bed and your catecholamine levels are still high, so your adrenaline is pumping, and this will, first of all, keep you from falling asleep, and later during the night you will also see these negative effects of not getting really of waking up several times. On the other hand, if you are chronically fatigued, we have mentioned that before in the context of this rodent study, where they chronically exercised the rodents and found that when they are running in their they are forced to run in their wheels every day, the receptor density of the GABA receptor, which is obviously important to really calm down, reduces, then somebody would overtrain with endurance training would probably rather be fatigued and have no problem to go to bed, but he does not really get the restful sleep.
Right, right.
And often people think, well, I'm just strength training, so if anything happens, I will get this... I will get the first state, so to say, of being overly excited. But when you continue on that route, you usually at some time point you will always end up with this wired but tired syndrome, where you can neither fall asleep nor, when you really fall asleep, recover while you're sleeping.
What is heat load? Is that exercise related heat load, or is that
term for referring to the intensity. The heat load, I don't really know how they calculated this, but it is approximate for the exercise intensity.
Wow, so there you go. That shows that the higher intensity, there was a greater degree of frequency of waking. Okay, let's talk about energy expenditure for a second and energy intake. I love this one on bench press and leg press. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting, because if you were asked to predict what would burn more energy, the bench press or the leg press, I think everybody would say, well, of course, it's the leg press. But there has been a team of researchers from Brazil which has just conducted a study using 10 male trainees with at least 1 year of training experience, and they had them do 3 sets of 10 reps of bench presses and leg presses. And what they found was that, interestingly enough, the directly measured energy expenditure, so they plugged the guys to these apparatuses where you can actually measure how much oxygen they expel, and they took their lactate level, and they even monitored them for the time afterwards to see whether the post-exercise oxygen expenditure would be higher with the bench press or the leg press. And what they found was that the trainees actually expended almost exactly the same amount, irrespective of whether they were bench pressing or leg pressing. And the most intriguing thing now is that they moved 5 times more weight while they were leg pressing, and still did not burn a single calorie more.
Yeah, but this makes sense to me, Because strength is a constant. So in other words, your legs are stronger than your upper body. The maximum amount of weight you can handle with your legs and the maximum amount of weight you can handle with your upper body in a bench press, they are specific to the strength of those body parts, and they consume the same amount of energy. The body is going to go, I'm going to give you all the energy you can to do these bench presses. This is all you can do because you're the strength quoting. I'm going to give you all the energy you can to do these leg presses, and this is what you can do because the legs are much stronger.
Right.
So energy is the constant, not strength.
Yeah, and I think this is pretty important because many people rely much too much on the most fundamental equations of physics when they try to calculate their energy expenditure. And actually, my personal experience is that I have never met anyone who was successful when he or she, mostly it's rather the girls who do that, try to create a caloric deficit by expending energy in the gym, or even relied on the values the Stairmaster, whatever machine you're using in the gym would give you. So if this device tells you that you just burn 500 kilocalories, it could just as well be only 200, and it's even relatively likely that it's much less when you're also dieting. Because just energy availability will also influence how much energy you are burning. So if those guys had been fasted, for example, for a couple of days and had already transitioned to what we often call starvation mode, they all may have consumed maybe 30% less energy, even if they had been able to press almost the same weight.
Yeah. What does EPOC, E-P-O-C, stand for?
This is the post-exercise oxygen consumption.
Okay.
And this is actually what people have long thought is the major one of the major and most important effects of doing high-intensity interval training compared to light-intensity steady-state training, which means you work out for just 15 minutes or so, but you work out so intense that in the hours after you work out, you will still keep burning energy and real large amounts of energy. At least this is a common myth. But I've written about a similar study a couple of weeks ago already, and when I did the calculation, the additional energy expenditure from a high-intensity interval training session, if you break it down for the rest of the 24-hour period for which the scientists measured it, it was not even a slice of an apple in terms of calories.
Wow.
And now we've got another study which has just been released, not officially published, but the article is already available online, where they also tested two different high-intensity interval training programs, one very short one with one-minute intervals and one longer one with four-minute intervals. And in both cases, and this is actually quite interesting, they did 10 of those intervals. And obviously, if you do 10 times 4 minutes intervals, you will burn more energy while you're working out. And this is actually the only significant finding of the study, that the guys in the 4-minute group burned much more energy. The EPOC was identical for both groups, but was more or less negligible when you compare it to the guys who just sat around in the control condition. And overall, this really confirms that there's no argument to be made for high-intensity interval training when we are talking on the level of energy expenditure. But this does not really matter because when we are only talking about energy expenditure, we are really missing off the boat. You're not really training to expend energy.
Right.
This would be totally stupid. But you're rather training to get the conditioning effect. And when we are looking at the results of the studies comparing light intensity steady state training and high intensity interval training, only the people who are really in bad conditioning, who are mainly the obese individuals, they will also see improvements in their VO2 max values, so their general ability to exercise. But somebody who is already better off or better trained he or she has actually more or less to do high intensity interval training to keep improving his conditioning, at least at a reasonable pace. And interestingly enough, this also comes back to the overtraining thing, and this is one of the things I've been recommending and saying in the past also, is you have to be progressive. Whenever you want to achieve a training goal, you have to have some sort of progression. But for light intensity steady state, there is a limit. You cannot do light intensity steady state for 2 hours, then go to 3 hours, then go to 4 hours. So instead of doing more and more and more, there comes a time when you have to incorporate high-intensity interval training if you still want to make those gains in terms of your conditioning. If this is not your major concern, you could say, I'll stick to walking as a very light light-intensity steady-state training and combine that with my weight and resistance training sessions. And this is actually something you should keep in mind, that when you think about the impact on the central nervous system, then high-intensity interval training and resistance training are pretty much alike, while the light-intensity steady-state session, like 40 minutes of walking on an inclined treadmill at 5 kilometers per hour, will actually give your central nervous system a very different stimulus. And I personally think, and also can tell this from my own experience, that not just hammering one of these pathways all the time will be really beneficial. The one thing I would never actually recommend, all maybe for someone who's just starting out, are those typical fat burning workouts where you do light intensity cardio in the fat burning zone, so to say, which is, in my humble opinion, already too much to have some recovery function as a light walk would have, and too little to induce any real benefits in terms of your conditioning, aside from people who really have no baseline conditioning, so to say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what a lot of people recommend, too. I mean, Sabina Scala, who trains MMA fighters, talks about that it's important to do those 40-minute low-intensity, you know, steady-state kind of sessions as it is to do all the high-intensity stuff as well. Let me ask you a question. Gary Taubes came on my show and said something that he said on many people's shows, and that is that if weight loss is important to you, that exercise should not be performed because it just makes you hungrier. But you have some research here that shows that at least intense exercise amongst obese individuals doesn't do that.
Right. And I also have a study showing the same for steady-state cardio. And it's really not right that exercise just makes you hungry. And in this particular case, this is pretty interesting because it's funny that the lean boys and girls in the study, they just ate exactly the same after doing a 3 10-minute high-intensity exercise sessions. High, in this case, obviously not 100%, but just pretty intense. At the buffet afterwards, while the obese boys and girls, they really reduced their total caloric intake significantly, so by 20% or so, depending on the individual. And especially, and you would not really expect that, when you work out, they work out at 11, I think they got lunch at 1 p.m. or so. At this meal, they really ate significantly less. And what I found pretty intriguing, actually, is that in this study, they also checked what the children actually eat. And what they found was that the nutrient that was maximally reduced by the intense exercise of the nutrient intake that was maximally reduced were carbohydrates. And when you look at the baseline levels, the main difference between the two groups, between the lean and the obese group, is that the obese group is constantly shoveling down some sort of carbohydrate-loaded food, while the other group has a much more balanced diet with all the macronutrients in it. And the exercise, interestingly enough, I don't know what the mechanism is, but in one way or another, it did not, as Gary Taubes would probably expect, increase the obese kids' hunger for carbohydrates, but really soothed it and helped them to voluntarily eat a much lower amount of carbohydrates during both lunch and the dinner meal. So the evidence that would suggest that exercise really just makes you hungry is actually not there, neither for low intensity steady state nor for nor for high intensity interval training. But the problem, I suppose, that is there is what I've been talking about before, this looking at the figures on the digital on whatever exercise equipment you use, which says, "Wow, I just burned 500 kilocalories, so I can go and have a pizza today because I deserve it."
I know.
I'm not really sure if this is the main effect here, but for many people it certainly is. And if you look at the research that is out there, then especially the more recent studies all argue in favor of exercise does not make you more hungry, and many even argue in favor of exercise helps you to get satiated. And when I'm coming back to the carbohydrate preference, you could even argue that the immediate influence on the insulin resistance would actually have enabled the obese kids to notice, so to say, that they were eating carbohydrates, because they would also supply the energy to the cells instead of just ending up floating around in the bloodstream as high glucose levels.
Interesting. Really interesting. And this is just further proves that everything is so much more complex than we think it is, and it's constantly unfolding. And that's why you can't dig your heels in with a specific doctrine of belief. Do we want to make recommendations on how to use cardio and exercise?
I think we did that already.
Yeah, we did that already. That's what I was going to say. I mean, we pretty much addressed
that. And you agreed that that you think this is a plausible version. And actually, my personal experience is really that although I've also fallen for the high intensity cardio rage, and did this for quite some time, I noticed that it really does not benefit me that much as adding some light intensity steady state exercise to in addition to my strength training regimen. It just makes a perfect match, while doing the high intensity cardio seemed to overload me. And I'm not quite sure if this is the same for everyone, but I would suggest at least to give it a try and not to be ashamed of walking around on the treadmill or of just walking around outside. When the weather is nice, I also do cardio outside, so to say, but just walking from place A to place B. And I've mentioned before that I'm usually using my bike to get from one place to another here, which I know is not as easy in the U.S. as it is here in Europe, maybe. But this kind of light daily activity is really something we all are missing. And since you already mentioned Dan Pardee and Dan's plan, I've recently had the chance to look at their program, and this is something that really sticks out there because they, Stephen Gamey and Dan Pardee, put a real focus on this incorporation of not really exercise, but just being active back into your everyday life. Because if you think about the average guy in the Western Hemisphere, he's sitting around most of the day. When he wants to get from point A to point B, he walks maybe 10 or 20 meters to the car or to the next train station or so. And this is all the locomotion, all the exercise, so to say, he gets. And I think in German, there's a saying, which is in English, the corresponding saying is, a rolling stone gathers no moss.
Right.
In German, it's about rust, and it's fundamentally a little bit different, but I think the rust analogy is even better because it has the oxidation in it.
Right.
So if you sit around all day, you're really rusting, you're really promoting the inflammation because you don't get the exercise that's necessary. And Stephen also said that yesterday on the show that one of the best ways to actually reduce brain inflammation is working out.
Exercise, right. I know. It's amazing. Everything exercise works for everything except tearing your hamstring. That's the only thing it doesn't work for. great show, by the way. I spoke to my wonderful orthopedic surgeon who I will be traveling up to Cleveland to have my hamstring. Okay, so the both two different bicep muscles of the hamstring tore completely off the bone, and the muscle is rolled up 6 centimeters of retraction, and so I'm going to have them reattached. The good news is, and as soon as he told me this, I was like, come on, let's do it. I will not need a full-on anesthesia. He said that I can get an epidural, which they give to a lot of pregnant women when they deliver babies, which are, you know, very, very common these days, where they just kind of give you an injection into your spine and it just numbs the bottom half of your body. So I will be awake and lucid, well, as lucid as I normally am, and I will undergo the surgery. So I am all for the surgery now because I do not have to undergo anesthesia, which I was freaked out about. The other good news is I asked Dr. Seeds, can I bring a camera in and can we video this so I can use it on the radio show and the TV show? He goes, I've got you covered, buddy. He said, we actually have cameras in our OR. He goes, and we can video. So soon, coming to a screen near you soon, my big pasty behind as I'm getting my hamstrings reattached. And I will deadlift and squat again. So I'm really excited about that, as you can tell. Adele, great work. Fantastic notes, as usual. I tell you, you could sell these notes. They look like the best produced magazine articles I've ever seen. Thank you so much for all the hard work that you do.
You're welcome.
Okay, talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, bye.
And we will see everybody tomorrow for Casual Friday. Thank you for listening, as always.
They say that tough love is sometimes the best advice. Well, he's got the toughest love.
Why you should not drink diet sodas, it's very, very simple. If you don't subscribe to the idea that they're toxic, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they cause a derangement in insulin response. If you don't subscribe to that, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they spike insulin. I mean, it's like, do whatever you want, but why do we need science to tell us to stop consuming more chemicals? Are you really that pathetically addicted to something that's not good for you? Then say it. Say, I'm addicted to these things and I can't help myself. I know they're bad for me. I'm going to keep using them, and then we don't have to do research.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.